If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Haggai. If you're not sure where it is, look in your index. Haggai, one of the minor prophets. Haggai, chapter 1. How many of you have allergies? Boy, I can't wait for till the first frost. Amen? It's a good time. Haggai. Haggai is known as the prophet of the temple. After the Babylonian captivity, the Jews are going back to Jerusalem and their land. And they were supposed to start building the temple quickly, but they did something else first. And Haggai the prophet is used of God to bring that to their attention. So we'll begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, he's getting ready to speak. I'll wait till the leaves stop rustling. Everybody there? Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Boy, that's a bad thing. Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then he tells them. Two times he says, the Lord says to consider your ways. I think that's always a good thing. Amen. Because if God speaks back to us, we know what he's saying and we want to do the right thing and be a blessing. But let's pray and ask his blessing upon the word today. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for instruction, help, all that you do for us, Lord. I pray you'd minister to every one of us today. You'd meet our need and you'd speak to us, Lord. And as you speak, may we hear what the Spirit has to say. May it affect our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a good portion of Scripture. I want to use it as a springboard. I'm not going to talk about Haggai today. But what he's saying about thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord is all through the Scriptures because the Bible is his word. Amen. And I am preaching the word. Paul said to the Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we believe the word of God, that there's a human instrument speaking it. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so again, thank you for your prayers today. We'll see what God speaks to us about. The Bible is the answer. Amen. And we keep going back to that. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, because it is the word of God. I used to listen to Billy Graham and his salvation sermons, and you can still get those today. And I remember one statement he made. He said this. He said, I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to be all right. Amen? And you can go to the Bible for comfort, for strength, for guidance, for anything. I mean, it covers every aspect, and it's such a blessing. It's important to encourage people to read the Bible, to hear the Bible, to memorize the Bible, to meditate upon the Bible. All of those principles are in the Bible because God wants to help people. Amen. God wants to show mercy and guidance, etc. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus said this, it is written that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And there are physical things that God blesses us with. We thank God for that. But the most important thing is the word of God. God bless you. Was that a sneeze? Oh, okay. Okay. Was that you, Joe? Was that you? Okay. Amen. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. And it says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation, thou preserve them forever. And so we have the Bible, and that's a blessing. 2 Corinthians 2:17. I'm reading a lot of Bible because I'm preaching about the Bible. Amen? And I want your confidence to be in that. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. If you would like to, turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Two of the Gospels have the parable of the seed and the sower, and they're very powerful. And we've read them many times. You've probably heard a dozen sermons on them. But to focus in on this, because the rest of the message will be about this. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Prior to that, Jesus brought a parable of a man going out and sowing seed in the four different types of ground that the seed fell on. Now he's going to explain what it is. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And sometimes you experience that in church. You're thinking about what to eat after the service or some problem in life or why, just something happened on the way to church. And your mind goes somewhere else. And here's the word of God, the very word of God, the precious word of God. Amen? And he wants to say these things to us. We have verse 13. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience. There's no fruit, and there's fruit. And the goal of the believer is to have fruit in his life. We're not talking about something physical. We're talking about something spiritual. It's always a good thing. We need good seed, and that's the Bible. Amen? You got to have good seed. And then you need good ground. The good seed goes into the good ground. That's the last verse that we just read. And then it produces good fruit. We're going to see that principle work over and over and over. It's God's principle, so it will work. If there's good seed, it goes in good ground, it brings forth good fruit. It'll always work. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's good seed. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his, what's that word? Let's see. Fruit. Yeah, that's what it is. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're not talking the business world. We're not talking our health. We're not talking who your neighbor is. We're talking something spiritual is going to take place. Good seed. Good ground, good fruit. It works like that throughout the scriptures. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived. That's important. God is saying that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap the whirlwind. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap something wonderful that's a blessing to us. We have 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. There it is again. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad seed, bad ground, you're going to get bad fruit. That's how it works. Nothing is ever wrong with the seed of God. Nothing. Just like Pilate found no fault in Jesus, we find no fault in the Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. That's a scripture. And so we know that is true. But if it's put in bad ground, it's not going to do anything. And we'll see that as we get into the scripture. Back to Haggai chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. But in verse 19, the prophet said this, is the seed yet in the barn? The seed doesn't do anything in the barn. Amen. It just waits to be planted. The whole purpose of seed is to plant it. And it's to plant it somewhere good, fertilized, that it's going to grow and produce fruit. And that's the purpose of that. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So he goes and scatters the seed. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said that. He says, if you give the word, you might not see the results, but God's working in somebody's heart and somebody's mind. And the whole purpose of our church, the whole purpose of becoming a Christian, is to glorify God and to see other people saved. Amen? And we do that by following the seed, by having a good heart. The seed comes in, and then we share that fruit and that seed with other people. It's a blessing. Amen? If you've ever won somebody to the Lord, and there was a process that you did, man, I mean, it'll change your life. But maybe you win somebody to the Lord, and it seems so easy. It wasn't. Somebody was planting seed a long time ago, and they were praying also. In Isaiah 32 and verse 20, we're told, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. We got a lot of seed in this barn. Amen? This barn, this church house. There's a lot of seed here. I usually preach 50 to 100 verses, maybe sometimes more than that. I like to give a lot of Bible. Well, you know, I can't pay attention to that, but we need to because it's the Word of God. Amen? Now, get a good night's sleep on Saturday. Amen? Get enough coffee in the morning on Sunday so that you can come to church and hear every word of God. And I'll make an application to that later, if you're still with me. Amen? Anybody still with me? Okay, six. Okay. Get the seed out of the barn and put it in the field, and it will produce fruit. That's the whole purpose of it. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. And that's talking about winning people to Christ. That's fruit in our life. Galatians 6:5-22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's inward. The other is outward. But it's fruit. Amen? And it only comes from having the good seed. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, and truth. Nothing wrong with the seed. Satan would like to do nothing better than to get us to doubt the seed. Get us to go somewhere else. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Beware. See, those are strong terms. If you're a little boy's going on and you say, now beware of this, you want him to take note of that. Amen? Because it's so easy to get off the right path. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He questioned the Bible, and he made her doubt. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, it says, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, speaking of Genesis 3. It abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In the book of Corinthians, the Bible talks about the devil being like this angel, like this wonderful thing, but he paints a pretty picture. But Peter tells us he's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. But here it says he's a liar. And he's the father of it. It all started back in Genesis chapter 3. He's subtle. He's sly in design. He's artful. He's cunning. He's insinuating. When it's applied to persons, he's a subtle foe. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said to the church at Corinth, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There it is again. And Paul is speaking to a local church. People are saved. They have a Bible. They have the scripture, and they're trying to follow God. He's saying, beware that as the devil tricked Eve, it was subtle with Eve, he's going to be that same way with you. And you say it and you preach it and we read it, but some people say, well, I'm not fooled. I'll never get fooled. Beware. Amen. Don't think more highly of yourself. Sometimes those things are real convincing. There's so much going on. Let God be true. The word of God is true. Thy word is true. Truth will set you free. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, Paul is quoting part of the scripture in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14. And he quotes this, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Nothing can destroy this book, absolutely nothing. From eternity past to eternity future, this book stands. Amen. Amen for that. Let's put these principles to work. Let's sow the seed. And you have to do that. God does his part. And if we just do our part, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It goes on and it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must come believing. So here we go. This is the message. Amen. The seed is the word of God. You believe that? Amen. The word of God is pure. It's right. It's God's word. Other men wrote it down, but God spoke to those men and they wrote it down. It is God's word. It can change your life. We must believe that if we come to God, he will do something for us. Does anybody here? Well, let me. Yeah, I better start here. I got too many notes. And if I don't stick to some of them, we'll be here a long time. And Madeline made two homemade things. And just like last week, and I apologize for this. I am so sorry. I sneezed on those two. Anyway, does anybody here need godly wisdom? Anybody? Two? Okay. It's probably all of us. Amen. Yeah, we need godly wisdom. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. In James chapter 3, there's wisdom from above and there's wisdom from below. In 1 Corinthians, there's earthly wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom. And so we want the heavenly wisdom. Solomon, God said to Solomon, ask what you will. And he said, I don't want money. I don't want power. I don't want position. I want wisdom. That's a good heart. Amen. And so God says to us all the time, what do you want me to do for you? Amen. Well, I want to love you, Lord. I want to experience that love. I want to serve you. I want to just be so enraptured by your love. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And the scriptures are endless on that. But that's what we want. We want wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not a respecter of persons. Anybody that wants a wisdom of God can have it, and we'll see that in a little bit. You can have that if your heart is right to receive it. Does anybody here need godly comfort? Okay, we're going the other direction, but that's okay. There's three. Godly comfort. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. Romans 5:15-4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Just reading the Bible will comfort you. Just quoting the Bible will comfort you. 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Comfort your heart, establish you in every good word and work. He's the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us in all our tribulation. Amen. That's his promise because he is the God of comfort. Does anybody here need godly patience? We hit the jackpot. Amen. We all need that. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. Amen. Luke 8:15, we read the seed and the sower. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. There's your heart, that's the ground. Having heard the word, keep it, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Who hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Isn't that amazing? That one verse, the one principle and the one verse, all we have to do is go to the Bible. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That book is alive. The scriptures are alive. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they're spirit and they're truth. This book is powerful. Amen. It can save a person's soul from hell. It can change a life. It can do anything if we just believe it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was precious because it was rare, but think of how many Bibles we have. Everybody's got a Bible. I've done a lot of missions work, a lot of different countries, probably 10 countries or so. And there were countries that we went to, they didn't have Bibles. And some of the men that we taught for the ministry, they didn't have Bibles. And you'd give them notes during the day, and they'd go, and rather than go home and go to bed, and not home, we provided a place for them, but they would go there, and instead of going to bed, and we taught all day, they would recopy their notes, so that when they went back to Ukraine or Moldova or Russia, they would have the scriptures. That's how important the Bible was to them. Amen? I don't know how many Bibles I have. I got 3 Bibles in my office here. I got probably 4 Bibles in my office at the house. This thing is falling apart, but I just can't let it go. I got notes in it. Amen. And there's sometimes I can't read it because I got marks over it. You know, that's where you're supposed to help me say what the word is. But the word of God, the word of it's all about the word of God. It's all about the Bible. You wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the Bible. Amen. You can't please God without the scriptures. So important, so important. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, this is the church of Laodicea. He ends that advice with, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What did Jesus say to that church? Behold, I knock. He's knocking at our heart. And he says, if any man will open the door, that's the ground. Amen. Open the door. I will come into him and sup with him, and I will be with him and fellowship with him, and it will be a blessing. That's the fruit. Amen. And then there's other fruit that comes along with that. But God says, open the door. The Laodicean church was the church of the open or closed door. The church age before it, and the Philadelphian church was the church of the open door. Something happened. We used to have revivals, all kinds of revivals in this country. When I started preaching, pastoring in 1980, it was easy. You could fill a church. I mean, there was nothing to it. Absolutely nothing to it. Now you're pulling teeth. Amen? There's so many other things to do on Sunday, and people don't come. And when they come, here's the word. It's a Bible preaching church. Yes, it's a Bible preaching church. Amen? Let us hear what God has to say to us. That on good ground they would hear the word and bring forth fruit with patience. He will come in. Romans says, chapter 12, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and honest and sure word of God. So, we're transformed. How are we transformed? Who transforms us? The word of God does. It is talking about that in that verse. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this. There are two authorities in life. God or man. How long halt ye between two opinions? The Lord be God, serve him. Baal be God. Remember, there's the principle. Two authorities in life. We must choose which one we will listen to. The message of the Bible is, thus says the Lord. It is God's revelation of truth to mankind. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Sometimes people say, well, I heard it on the internet. You know, if it's on the internet, gotta be true, right? Amen. More than 1,900 times in Scripture, the authors claimed that the message was God's word. Thus saith the Lord. You can fact check that. Amen. You can get a concordance and count them up if you like. In the book of Matthew alone, Jesus said, follow me 7 times, just in the book of Matthew. We don't have to hear God say it 7 times, right? We should just be thankful that he says it 1 time. Because follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's a good one. Amen. Because there's the word. Jesus said, follow me. That's the word. The heart says, okay, I'll do that. And I will make you to become fishers of men. There's the fruit. Amen. And that's how it works. It always works. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Truly, truly, verily, verily. Those are things repeated. But we don't need them repeated. If Jesus says it one time, it has to be powerful. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And again, you see the good seed, you see the good heart, the good ground, and the good fruit. We don't need to focus on the fruit today, nor even on the seed. We know the seed is God's word. There's no argument there. There's nothing wrong with it. If the seed is right and it's put on good ground, the fruit will naturally be good. So all God needs from us is good ground. Isn't that amazing? Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and God will do marvelous things for you. He'll calm your spirit. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll do wonderful. He'll use you in his service. It's just give him your heart. My son, give me thine heart. You know, so many verses about it. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We've heard this a million times, and I don't exaggerate. Amen. Little joke there, little joke. Okay, amen. We've heard it over and over. It's your heart. It's your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But it's, you're saved here. Amen. You're saved in the heart. And all of the verses, my son, give me thine heart, I quoted that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, that's a good one. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How does God tell us to speak? Amen. The fruit of his lips, our lips, giving thanks. Be in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know the verses. Amen. And so when the heart is right and God gives us those words and we want to have a heart that's right with God and accomplish something for him, then he allows us to do that. And we do it with our lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says that in Proverbs. You go to James 3 and you find out the tongue is set on fire of hell. You know the rest of the verse? And no man can tame it. You can't tame it. The work about your tongue needs to be done in the heart. Because God says, I will help you with how you speak. If you just give me your heart and you're not so interested in getting even or getting back to somebody, you just want to do what God tells you to do. A soft answer turneth away a backbiting tongue. No, what am I thinking? A soft answer? Yeah. So it turneth away wrath. And so if God's telling you that and you're in a situation like that, what happens? Here's a seed. It's good. Amen. Boy, if I apply this seed, like I'm supposed to, I will give the right answer. Amen? But a lot of times it falls on bad ground. Bad ground, and we'll see a little bit of that. It's all in the scriptures. Matthew 12:33. The tree is known by his fruit. You know, if you want to know what a good fisherman is, don't listen to how they talk. Say, show me their stringer. Amen? Show me the stringer. And we should be winning people to Christ. Amen? James 3, it says there's wisdom from below, and it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Boy. But the wisdom that's from above, well, let me just read verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. Peace is all through that. Amen? And it's talking about the wisdom that's from above. Jesus came. He didn't come to debate. He came to give the gospel. Amen? He didn't come to destroy sinners. He came to save sinners. And sometimes we get irritated with that, and we should not be that way. The ground needs to be right. Luke chapter 13, Jesus is telling the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is representative of the nation Israel. And boy, were they disobedient to him. And it was Israel that put him on a cross. It was the Jews that put him on a cross. But in verse 7 it says, "Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none." What is he looking for? He's looking for fruit. What is he looking for in your life? He's looking for fruit. But he wants to be a blessing to you. What did he say to Abraham in Genesis 15? "I will bless you and make you a blessing." If you're a blessing, it's because God is making you a blessing, because he has blessed you. Then he said to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." The ground, there's something wrong with the ground. That's a fig tree. It should produce figs. How come it's not producing figs? It's useless if it doesn't produce figs. So there's somebody that's going to have mercy on this fig tree, and it's personal. And it says, oh, let me find my place. "And he answering said to him, Lord, let alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Break up the fallow ground, the Bible says about us. We're not to hinder the gospel. Amen. We're supposed to have a heart for God and a heart for lost people. And that's how God uses us. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, "As is the root, so is the fruit." In Hebrews, "Lest there be any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." That bitterness, that malice, that anger, that's bad ground. Amen? It'll lead to bad speech. It'll lead to bad action. It's not a good thing. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. It's all about the ground. It's all about our heart. You can't be saved by saying some words. You're saved by believing in your heart. Amen? You can't please, if without faith it is impossible to please him. So you have to have that heart. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He's looking for fruit, but I'm looking for that too. We're on the same page. I'm not going one way and God's going the other way. We're walking together. Our fellowship one with another is because of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Love the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit," that's the heart, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, "see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." That's what God wants us to do here. He wants you to love each other. Amen? That's what it's all about. We love one another. That's the second greatest commandment. The first greatest commandment is love the Lord. And then the second one is love your neighbor. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I know I say that, I repeat that a lot. But it's real. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. Come back to it. Yeah, we need to practice that. And if we're not practicing that, we go back to Haggai chapter 1. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Next Sunday we'll have the Lord's Supper. That's to show our love for him. But it's also supposed to show our love for each other. Amen? This is God at work. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you're probably familiar with this story. But the Lord is wanting to call Samuel into the work. And he doesn't recognize it's the Lord. And so he's there helping Eli. Eli was the high priest, but he was ungodly. He allowed some ungodly things, and God was going to remove him, and God was going to put Samuel there. Samuel was the prophet. And Samuel's mother lent him to the Lord. What a tremendous truth there about our children. But coming back to this, he's laying down, and there's a voice that says, "Samuel, Samuel." And he comes running into Eli and says, "Eli, what do you want, Eli?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." So he went back and he's laying down, he falls asleep, and he hears his voice again, and it's, "Samuel, Samuel." And he jumps up. "Well, I'm going back to see Eli." So he went back to see Eli, and he says, "What do you want, Eli?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and go to sleep. Let me sleep." So he's laying there again. I hope this isn't too monotonous to you. I'm trying to make a point. And so he's laying there, and he hears the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he goes back, and he says, "Eli, I am sure you called me." And Eli said, "No, Samuel, it's the Lord. Go back and lay down, and when he comes, you'll know what to say." And so he went back and he laid down, and the Lord called him again. You ever been there? You ever been there? You didn't know if it was the Lord. And you hear him. And you say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Boy, that's powerful. And because he said that, he was a great, great prophet. But let me show you something. He was in the place that God wanted him to be. Amen? His mother had some wisdom, and she put him in that temple with Eli. And sometimes you'll hear a great truth from an ungodly man, an ungodly person, but it's still the seed. It's still the Word of God. And if somebody's trying to point you to Jesus, don't discredit them. Say, "Thank God," and go on your way to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's a good day, is it not? Did you recognize his voice anywhere? Did he speak to you today? About 100 verses. Pretty close to that. Did he say anything? And if he did, if you determine that's the Lord's voice, if you just give him your heart, he'll put that seed in there, and then they'll start producing fruit. The other way is a miserable life. The misery of the backslider, the Bible said. Get on board, amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Our Father, use your word today for your glory. None of us are worthy of the least of your mercies. But you've been good to everyone here. Somebody here is not saved today. You want to save them. If somebody's here and they're away from you, you want to draw them near you by your love, the cords of love. Oh, Lord, the word is so powerful. Bless us now. Make us a blessing that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.